Everybody Wins. Lesson 1. Finding More Joy in Your Now. Welcome to the Everybody Wins program. As you listen to these lessons, let the ideas discussed move around in your mind. Notice your inner dialogue. Notice how your beliefs interact with the ideas and concepts being presented. And most importantly, have fun. Remember, this is a journey of you becoming the creator of your life. Many people believe this is a golden time in the history of humankind. Some say that human consciousness has evolved more in the last 200 years than in the last several thousand. More and more people are realizing their innate ability to take charge of their life by taking charge of their thoughts, actions, feelings, and beliefs. The people using this course really do have the time and the resources to make their lives more of what they want. Yet it seems that many people are not finding their lives as satisfying and fulfilling as they would like. All of us were born with a constructive discontent to make our lives better. We are all seeking to some degree or another more happiness, more joy, more peace of mind, more control and dominion over the things in our lives. It is the nature of all of us to grow and develop. The problems arise when this drive to grow and develop makes us unhappy or discouraged with the way things are, when our drive of wanting more takes the enjoyment and satisfaction out of what we have now. It's the problem the Buddhists address as a chronic dissatisfaction with now. In our culture, we have a philosophy or overriding approach to life I call the work ethic. Simply stated, it infers that we can all be better than we are now. And when we work hard, have the right gadgets, and develop our full potential, then we will be happy. This work ethic implies that when we get better, or when we learn our lessons and have the things we want, then life becomes fun, exciting, and satisfying. It even suggests that when we get our act together, we won't have any more problems. Have you found this to be true? Most of us have a good job, a home, adequate food and clothing. Our families, for the most part, are healthy and well-educated. All the basics of life are being met. Yet generally, people are not satisfied and happy with who they are and what they have. There is a pressure, a conditioned mental habit pattern of focusing on problems and dis-ease, things or circumstances that cause some kind of mental anguish. Many of us start our days with an alarm clock. Now think for a moment. As you wake up, are your first thoughts those of joy and anticipation for the day ahead? Are you excited about your life and what you get to do? Or are your first thoughts like these? I wish I could have a little more sleep. I wish I didn't have to go to work. Or a general assault by thoughts pertaining to all the challenges and problems you must face, all the things you must get done. This work ethic I'm referring to suggests that when we become good problem solvers, when we work hard and fix ourselves, when we become who we think we should be, then we will be happy and satisfied. So correspondingly, many of us grew up in an environment where we were encouraged to focus on the things that weren't working, things that needed to be fixed. Yet if we really explore the game of results and problem solving, when we solve one problem or challenge, within a short period of time, there is another one to take its place. And many times, our new problem or challenge is even tougher than the old one. There's always more to do and new priorities to choose from. If you examine your own experience, you will probably find that solving problems and having the right things in and of itself doesn't make your life as fun and exciting as you would like it to be. And this program is about getting results. Using it will assist you to get more of the things you want. However, this lesson is about you finding more joy and satisfaction in your now. There is a story about some tourists who were hopelessly lost and stopped to ask a farmer for directions. After giving the farmer a detailed and lengthy explanation of where they wanted to go, the farmer looked back at the tourists and said, "You can't get there from here." That's the way it is with any state of being. Creating that state of mind where we can stay centered in the joy of living is a place that's beyond what's going on in your now. Being is an inside-out experience. It comes from within you. Certainly, things are important, such as health, loving relationships, abundance, peace of mind, playtime, and purpose. But if the things that surround you determine whether or not you're happy and satisfied, then those outer circumstances control you and what you feel about yourself. And in that game, there is no real freedom to be and feel the real you. The key to finding fulfillment is to begin to experience yourself as that facet of you that is more than anything you've ever done, more than your past, more than your beliefs and attitudes. When you get to know that facet of you and spend time cultivating that knowledge of self, it frees you to become the creator of your life. The work ethic, as I learned it, assumes that when you have the right things that happy and satisfied people have, and do the things that happy and satisfied people do, then you will be happy and satisfied. But does life really work this way? You and I have more now than any generation has ever had. We have the time to do more of what we want than any generation has ever been able to do. And still, we are not being as happy and satisfied as we would like. In fact, there is mounting evidence that there are more mental problems today than at any time in our history. People are gobbling up tranquilizers, using drugs and alcohol, becoming lost in their television sets or other devices, and generally trying to escape their current life situation more now than ever before. Again, this is the result of our chronic dissatisfaction with now. The truth that gets us off the merry-go-round of doing and having more in order to be something is that we are not what happens to us. We are not a victim of what's going on around us. We have a choice. When you start your day from being happy and acknowledging the wonderful and unique person you are, you move into your life with a sense of joy. You come from a place that allows you to take charge of what's going on. There are still choices to make, actions to be taken. You still need to be in control of your focus, your thoughts, your imagination. You are still growing and learning how to be the creator of even more of what you want. And while you're doing that, you begin to experience yourself differently. You come from being. Don't give up. I know this may sound like a paradox or just a lot of talk, and it's not. It's the fundamental principle that many great teachers have taught us. Your life and how you feel about it is determined solely by your perception of self. It's what Socrates was getting at when he said, "Know thyself." It's what is meant by, "Seek ye first the kingdom within," or "Know the truth, and it will set you free. As you learn to come from the magnificent being you are, the doing and having becomes fun and exciting, and your life will begin to be a game you are creating instead of a problem you are trying to solve. The thoughts that you allow your mind to dwell upon will become your reality. And you and I were taught to think about problems and what's not working. The work ethic and our culture deals with doing and having, solving problems. We are continually surrounded by problem after problem. The news and the daily headlines are inundated with the problems of the world. Think for a moment. After you read these headline stories or listen to the news, are you enthusiastic and excited about your life? You're surrounded again with problems: crime, corruption, disaster, and the general chaos in the world. Is it any wonder, then, that the majority of your thoughts deal with problems, challenges, and the things that aren't working? Throughout your life, much of what you have been taught has focused on what isn't, what should be, and what needs to be healed. There is always a new list of what you have to do. You have to forgive enough, let go enough, be willing enough. On and on, the list of what you need to do before you are okay focuses your attention on "you are not enough now." Is it any wonder that you wake up each morning thinking of all the things you have to do, all the work that will be involved, all the obstacles you must overcome? Have you ever gone on a vacation, done all the right things, gone to all the right places, seen all the right sights, and still not be sure if you really had a good time? One day I drove to some friend's home in North Seattle. As I turned the corner at the top of the hill to their house, I was astounded by the beauty of Puget Sound. There were hundreds of boats with colorful sails. The water was a sensual blue, and the Olympic Mountains were magnificent and reflected in the water. I was so touched by what I saw, I decided to coast down the hill and just experience the wonder of the entire scene. As I began my descent slowly down the hill, I noticed my favorite song was playing. So I decided to adjust the tone, balance the speakers at just the right volume, and then enjoy the music and the view all in one. By the time I got the music just the way I wanted it, I was at the bottom of the hill and had missed the view altogether. Have you ever done something like that? Have you ever been so caught up in making something better that you missed the good you had to begin with? I find that many people are so preoccupied in making everything better that they miss much of what they already have. Enjoying now for what it is the surest way to find happiness and satisfaction. That does not mean that you shouldn't work and plan to make things even better. What it means is you should enjoy now because that's what you have. Focusing on problems and obstacles and anxious thoughts about tomorrow usually do not change our tomorrows. They just ruin our todays. It's your choice. You can enjoy what you have or get stuck and upset about what you do not have. Liking and trusting self. Thus far, we have been exploring how sometimes we allow the outside circumstances in our life to determine how we feel regarding our own personal happiness and satisfaction. It's also important that we examine how we feel about ourselves. I suggest you let the following questions and your answers roll around in your mind. Don't get too involved in judging your story. Just notice what you think and feel as you explore these questions. Do you like who you are? Do you trust yourself? Do you keep the promises you make to yourself? Do you think that you are a good person? Are you really being you, or are you playing different roles when you're with different people? If you had a friend who treated you like you treat you, if you had a friend who talked to you the way you talk to you, if you had a friend who broke commitments to you like you break commitments to you, how long would that person be your friend? If we are honest when we answer these kinds of questions about ourselves, many times we would have to admit we wouldn't like having that person around. Don't become alarmed. The important thing here is to notice what you think and feel as you answer these questions. Remember, we have been taught to be much more critical about ourselves than about others. In fact, our society has taught us that self-love and self-praise, in most cases, are wrong. There seems to be a fascination in our society with all we need to do to become whole and worthy. Again, coming from "we are not enough now." How many times have you completed a task or accomplished a goal, and instead of feeling good about what you did or what you accomplished, you thought about how lucky you were or how much better it could have been if you had really done your best? Is it any wonder that when we're asked about ourselves, we express feelings like, "I'm okay, but I'm not that good. I'm above average, but not that far above average. I'm getting better, but I have a long way to go." When you were in school, if you brought home a report card with all B's and one C, what would be the first thing your parents would talk about? If you went to a dance with a new and exciting partner and had a terrific time, except at one point you tripped and fell, what would be the one part of that evening you would remember? If you went to a party looking great in a new set of clothes and had just one blemish on your cheek, what would be the one thing you think people would notice about you? You and I are so programmed to look at the problems or mistakes we make that many times we lose sight of all the good and wonderful things about ourselves now. Would you really want to totally trade places with anyone you know and become that person? You have been working on yourself for a long time. When do you get to admire yourself and be delighted in who you are? Don't you think that if you were really going to make any drastic changes in yourself, you would have already made them? So if you are not going to make any significant changes in yourself right now, why not have fun being you and enjoy the journey? You are magnificent and unique just the way you are, and you are changing, for change is inevitable. We are all changing every day. You are different today than you were 2 years ago, and you'll be different 2 years from now than you are today. This program will help you have more control over those changes and allow you to grow and become more of what you want. But today, you are who you are today. So enjoy yourself and experience the wonder of who you already are. Don't worry about all the fears and doubts that come up about yourself. Most people have the same fears and doubts about themselves that you have about you. They are not natural fears and doubts. They are programmed into us by our environment. Relax. Trust yourself. You have everything you need to make your life what you want it to be. You really do have the ability to take charge of your life. And that taking charge, becoming who you want to be, is an ongoing process. Just take it one step at a time. Some texts or programs on personal growth would tell you that when you begin to accept the world around you for what it is, and yourself for who you are, then all the downs in your life will disappear. Life becomes one happy upward climb to even greater success and joy. Have you found this to be so? Life appears to be about ups and downs. The real secret to enjoying life is knowing that you are not what happens to you and learning to move from the down times as rapidly as possible to the up times. For example, if you have planned a big family picnic in the park and you get up that day and it's pouring down rain, my bet is your first thought will not be, "Oh good, it's raining." The concepts we have been discussing in this lesson may not make everything in your life work the way you want it to now, and we are going to get to that. What this lesson deals with is whether or not you get stuck and stay stuck on the things that happen to you. In our picnic example, the choice you have after your initial opinion of the rain is what are you going to do with that day? You can sit with your family and complain about the rain and wonder why it only rains on the days that you have something planned, or you can get on with that day and do something else. The choice is yours. Experience life for what it is, or get stuck on what it isn't. There will always be ups and downs in life. The choice we have and the power we can develop is to move from the down times to the up times at will. You can learn how to create the reality you desire, and the first step is to come to the game of life from the unique expression of spirit that you already are. As many of you know, when I was 22, I had a spinal fusion, and during surgery, my spine became infected with E. coli bacteria. My doctor said the infection was not curable, and over the next 11 years, I had 27 surgeries, and at times, it was questionable whether I would survive. Through using the principles outlined in this program, I created perfect health, where in the beginning I experienced only disease, sickness, and fear. While in the hospital for the 14th surgery, I was sent to a psychiatrist who encouraged me to work with him on an ongoing basis so I could learn to live within what he called my human limitations. He said there was a good chance I would spend the rest of my life in a wheelchair, and he could help me face that reality with dignity. I told him, "I don't want to study my human limitations or learn how to live in a wheelchair with dignity. I wanted to learn how to get well." We argued for almost an hour. I told him I was not my medical records or the opinions of my surgical team. I quoted from spiritual philosophies and self-help books saying, "All things are possible if only you believe." It became a very heated discussion. I stood firm in my desire to get well, saying, "There is a part of me that's not sick. There is a part of me that's not afraid. And these books I'm reading say that if I can get in touch with that aspect of me, if I can own that that is who I truly am, from there I can create reality rather than face reality." He said I was living in a dream world, sat back in his chair, and asked, "Who do you think you are?" Knowing that I was not going to get any support from him, and believing that it might be possible for me to create the health I wanted, I walked out of his office. As I opened the door to leave, he said, "Terry, you are in denial." And he was right. I was denying that what was going on in my now was going to determine what the rest of my life would be like. Remember, there may be well-meaning people in your life who will encourage you to face limitations based on what they believe about themselves. Your choice is to conform to what others think, or you can be free. You are a unique expression of the divine spark. I'm not sure what you would call this aspect of you, nor would I try and define it for you. You have to figure this out for yourself, and it's there. You know it's there. Now is the time for you to begin to cultivate your identity as that facet of you that is not your story, no matter how good your story is. As pointed out, it can be difficult to hold on to that wonderful awareness of self because we have been conditioned to believe that our sense of magnificence and joy comes from our results. We feel successful and competent only when things are going a certain way. Your job is to begin to notice what goes on for you as you begin to identify with that facet of you that is a unique expression of the life force that you already are. Remember, get under the words, seek beyond the examples I use. As you begin to define and identify with this wonderful and unique being that you are, notice any thoughts, beliefs, feelings, or habits that shift you away from your experience of joy. Don't get involved in justifying or analyzing the thoughts and feelings that come up. Just notice what they pertain to and whether they support you in feeling the wonder of you now. Life is an experience you are part of. No matter how much you want to, you cannot become separated from your life unless you die. So why not begin to see that you are unique and special? Yes, there may be circumstances in your life that you want to change. There always have been and probably always will be. You know that if you're going to change the quality of your life experience, you're going to have to do some things differently. Except this time, you get to start from being okay now. Imagine waking up in joy. Imagine looking forward to your day because you are on track better than ever before, creating the life you want. Remember, the only things that stand between you and the desires of your heart are the limiting thoughts, beliefs, and emotions from the past. These beliefs in lack, limitation, disease, struggle, and unworthiness are thought patterns that have been laid down throughout the ages, and they have been accentuated by your own experience, your inherited tendencies, and your environment. And many of us have proved these limiting beliefs true because we believed in them. The good news is that one by one, you are capable of removing all of these mental blocks that stand between you and the destiny you dream of. This great thing within you, which is called your will or your choice, can decide your destiny. You can remove every obstruction about you achieving your dreams and gradually implant new patterns in your mind. This is the great realization of freedom. Your choice can decide your destiny. And the starting point is to know the truth. You are not your stuff. Begin choosing who you want to be. Be happy and do more of what you want. Be satisfied and have more of what you want. For when you come from being, the doing and having aspects of life become fun and exciting because you get to make it up. Each of us was created with untold talents and abilities, the greatest of which is our ability to choose the thoughts and emotions that dominate our minds and the actions that can create the reality we so desperately want. Today, choose to see the good in yourself and the good in others. Today, choose to be wonderful. Choose to be magnificent. Today, choose to experience your life as a joy-filled adventure that you are creating. Action steps. This program is about you becoming your own teacher. By listening to each lesson for a week and following through with the daily action steps, you will learn how to integrate your choices and create the life you want. This is where the rubber meets the road, where you move from just thinking about these ideas and concepts to stepping up and using them to take charge of your life. The action steps may bring up habits or beliefs that do not support you in having the kind of life you want. Don't get too involved in your story, even if it's a good story. Just observe what's going on in your mind and write about what you observe. This week, use the form Thoughts and Ideas that you downloaded with the audio file. Use this page in the journal you are creating as an extension of your mind. Each day, after you listen to the lesson, spend 5 to 10 minutes writing in the Thoughts and Ideas section. You don't have to write paragraphs. Just a few words or sentences as bullet points will do. If you find it difficult to put into words what you think and feel, remember, it's not the words that are important. It's you spending time reflecting on these ideas that's important. This week, define that aspect of you that is beyond the things you do and have. This is about you getting clear on how you hold that aspect of you that's not your story, not your habits or results. Write out your ideas, review them, and write some more.